Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he understood of the vision, had the understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, or the river Tigris, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips when I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto me that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am going forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now, looking at the historical context of this a little bit, so we can understand the desperation of the need to pray. This vision came to Daniel in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. And you remember that the previous chapter here in Daniel was the chapter when the Persians came in and overthrew the city of Babylon, and Belshazzar was killed. And Daniel was set up and given an honorable place. And so, according to the book of Ezra, the decree went out to rebuild the temple in the first year of Cyrus. And so Ezra went to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, and he left the first year, the decree went out the first year. And as you read in the book of Ezra, you will see all the oppositions and the things that happened to prevent the rebuilding of the temple. You remember all those that came in, first of all, with flattery. And then they wanted to join forces with Ezra, and they wanted to help in the building. And then finally they wrote a letter to the king and stopped the building of the temple. And they did everything from flattery to open warfare to try to stop the building of the temple. There was a tremendous resistance coming from somewhere to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem. And probably about the third year of Cyrus, these things were at their peak. I don't know. I don't know my history well enough to say for sure. But if the decree went out on the first year and it took a little while to get things going, and Ezra by this time was in Jerusalem, and they were trying to rebuild the temple. And these were all the fulfillments of prophecy that had been given in earlier times. And so as Ezra was facing all these difficulties in Jerusalem to get the temple rebuilt and to bring the people of God back and to purify the people and to purify the worship of God, to cleanse them from all the things that had been earlier. Here was a man back in Persia praying. It was Daniel, and he was for 21 days. He had given himself to pray, and I'm sure that he was aware of some of the events and the pressures and the resistance that were coming in Jerusalem. And he was praying. He was praying, no doubt, for Ezra and for those who were in that work. And it was a burden on his heart to see this restored. Daniel was one who had seen it in its glory in the earlier days, one of the few that was left living yet, who knew what it had been like before it was destroyed. And now here it was, again, the possibilities of rebuilding. And so we have him here in the third year of the reign of Cyrus, fasting and praying for 21 days. And through this vision that Daniel had, God gives us a glimpse of what is going on out of the sight of the human eye in the world that we can't see. And a demonstration of the power of prayer, the powers of heaven going into action, the spiritual warfare behind the scenes, and the reasons why many of our prayers do not receive an immediate reply. Now, there are some times, I think, when God does answer our prayers immediately, but there's other times when he doesn't, and it can go for a long time. It can even go for years. Does that mean that God hasn't heard? Did God hear Daniel's prayer? Did he give some outward sign of hearing it and answering it? Not for 21 days. For 21 days, Daniel was fasting and praying without any assurance even that God was there. And he could have asked himself, like many people do today, where is God in all of this? But we see some truths unveiled here, I think, that should be an encouragement to us in our prayer life. We see two things going on here in Daniel's experience. One is a man who is wrestling in prayer, a man who is fasting and praying, and who is denying himself of the comforts and the pleasures of life with a tremendous burden on his heart, and he's wrestling there with God in prayer. 3 whole weeks of fasting and praying. And I think of Jacob there when he was facing a crisis in his life, when he was going to meet with Esau, his brother, and he wasn't sure what the response was going to be. He knew that Esau hated him and that he had threatened to kill him. And here was Jacob with all his family and all his possessions at the mercy of Esau. He spent the night also in praying And this is what he said as the dawn began to break, and the angel that he had been wrestling with all night was wanting to go. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Well, we know the rest of the story there. But that's an example of wrestling in prayer. And I believe this is what Daniel was doing. And this is what the scripture encourages us to do. You know, our faith sometimes is tested and tried, and it's weak. And sometimes the reply doesn't come to us just because God wants to test us and teach us patience and perseverance in prayer. But God is already working, very likely. Now, the the importunate widow in Luke chapter 18 is an example, and this is given to us by Jesus, the one who hears our prayers, the one who encouraged us so many times to pray and not to faint and not to give up. And this is what the account here with the importunate widow, as she concludes it. He says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And we hear this last part of that last verse often used in messages about faith, but it's specifically addressing the aspect of prayer. Do we not pray? Do we not persist in praying because we don't have enough faith? And it is a test of our faith to pray even when we don't have an answer, even when God seems far away, even when we ask, you know, God, where are you? And does it really make a difference to pray? You know, this is a faith issue that we need to address, because it affects our prayer life, and our prayer life affects our power with God or our powerlessness. And so Jesus gives us that to encourage us to pray. Now, Daniel did not know what was going on behind the scenes, but he continued to pray with a strong faith. And then as we look there at verse 8, he says, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Now, one of the secrets of the power of prayer in Daniel's experience here was understanding or his vision of the holiness of God and his own undoneness, his powerlessness, his unworthiness. We think of Daniel as a great man of God who did not have sins recorded. But here was a man who was a man, and he was a man of like passions as we are. And he, when he came face to face with God, he felt his undoneness and his powerlessness, and he recognized the holiness and the sovereignty of God, and he gave that. That was also an exercise of faith on his part. In verses 10 and 11, then he says, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Now, this came 21 days after he began to pray and fast. But all the time, Daniel was a man greatly beloved of God, from day one. And so it also is with us. And that's sometimes hard for us to grasp when things are going wrong. It's easy for us to question God's love in connection to us and our relationship with him. And we feel sometimes it's not reciprocal. But here he assured Daniel that he was a man greatly beloved. He said, understand the words that I speak to thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood. And so he says, unto thee I am now sent. Now, one of the things that I see in this passage here, verse 13 is especially the one that a lot of people struggle over. When he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And so this is the part that we don't see. This is the spiritual warfare that's going on. There are souls at stake. The kingdom of God is at stake. The work of the kingdom, the building of the kingdom is at stake. The souls of men. And as Ezra was there laboring and fighting and overcoming the obstacles, he couldn't see all that was going on. He didn't see Michael or this other angel that came to Daniel there. He couldn't see all that, but they were there. They were in Persia. They were back there where the seat of the government was, where the decisions were being made, and they were influencing these decisions. And as we read the book of Ezra, we can see that the outcome was good, that finally permission was granted and the building of the temple could resume. This was not all just by chance, but there was something going on behind the scenes that no one could see, that was influencing the decisions, the thoughts of those who had the authority to make them. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so as we pray, you know, these things are going on. And from day one, as it was with Daniel, God is at work. But there is a spiritual battle going on that sometimes takes time to culminate. But the important thing is in verse 14, where he says, now I am come. Now I am come. He was back there, and he was already answering his prayer, but for 21 days, Daniel wasn't aware of that, but he says, now I am come. And in Hebrews 1:14, talking about the angels, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, this is a promise, and this is truth. This is what the Bible teaches, that when we pray in the way that Daniel prayed, things are happening, and God does hear. In verse 12, he says, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And so from the first day, his words were heard. God does hear prayer. And in verse 19, he concludes this by telling Daniel again, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be up unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And so what he is saying here is, don't quit, don't give up, be strong, continue. And God is moving, God is working, as he was in the life of the importunate widow, when he says, to this end, he spake this parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. As we look at all the difficulties that the Jews encountered as they endeavored there to rebuild the temple, the enemy is trying in every way to infiltrate as well as to oppose and threaten the ongoing work. We can see the conflict on the ground, but we cannot see the spiritual conflict. And so, delayed answers to prayer are not an indication of God's reluctance to answer our prayers. God is already at work. But it's a there are reasons, and we don't understand all those reasons. What we don't know and can't see as we pray is how many arrangements may be in progress designed to answer our prayers of which we know nothing. How many agents may be employed to bring about an answer? What mighty obstacles may be in the process of removal? What changes may be made and what influence is exerted? While we continue to pray and fast and weep amidst many discouragements and many trials of our faith and patience, it may be much longer than 21 days, it may be years, but be assured, God hears and God is at work if we pray in the spirit and the attitude of Daniel. Repentance before God's holiness and humility in our own powerlessness, persistence as we recognize and give assent to the omnipotence, the all-powerful character of God, and he is our Father, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he wants to give us the best.